place else you'd rather be than right here, right now. When it's too tough for them, it's just right.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I am your host of Locked On Bills. Hope you guys enjoyed yesterday's podcast, where I had Mike Gennetti, the founder of SpotRack, on the podcast to talk about the Buffalo Bills salary cap position. And I really enjoyed talking with Mike, and I really thought he gave some great information and some great insight into the Bills and their challenges ahead with managing the cap and some of the things that matter for this coming offseason. And we talked about some different free agents and those types of things. So if you missed yesterday's podcast with Mike, I would definitely recommend probably stopping this one right now and going back and listening to yesterday's before you dig into today's, because that was a really good discussion. For today, it is Twitter Tuesday, and I am really excited about this because you guys gave me some great, great stuff to dig into. And I'll be honest with you, it's a little bit nerve-wracking sometimes to put out a tweet and say, hey, give me the stuff that you want to hear. Give me your takes. Give me your questions. But then you guys just crushed it with awesome ideas. And so thank you so much for responding and giving me some great material. You don't have to wait for me to put out the tweet on Monday. If you have anything that you think of throughout the course of the week that you would like me to comment on during the Twitter Tuesday podcast, make sure you hit me up on Twitter at the Joe Marino. There's a couple on here that you guys did that, and so we'll definitely prioritize getting to them as well. So let's not waste any time. Let's get right into the takes and questions that you have. The first one comes from Michael Mahon. You asked, what do you think of free agent tight end Jesse James? Not that I don't think drafting a tight end is worth it, but typically it seems that you don't see much in the first year of NFL play from tight ends. And I like this question, and we're going to get into some tight end stuff here on tomorrow's show, actually, and throughout this podcast. But to speak specifically on Jesse James, I went to John Ledyard, my coworker at the Draft Network, for a little scouting report on Jesse James. He's a Steelers guy, and he has obviously very familiar with Jesse James from having watched him to start his career with the Steelers. And this is what John said back to me, and I think this will probably answer this better than I could. He says, big, slow, smart versus zone, knows where to sit down. Terrific in scramble drills, which is big for Josh Allen. Unathletic and won't win in many contested situations or do much after the catch. Has improved as a blocker. Natural size allows him to be solid, but he's not overly aggressive. Quiet, zero personality. He's a capable number two tight end, but we're also working with Munchak and that offensive line helped. He's definitely not a number one tight end option. So I guess kind of reading that scouting report for you leads me to believe that maybe he can be like a fill-in guy. Like you mentioned, if the Bills were to draft a tight end in the first couple rounds, a guy that you know you can lean on because there's not a lot of experience on the Bills roster at tight end and not necessarily anybody that projects as a very good blocker. So if you can get him on a one-year deal just to kind of glue things together for a season as some of the younger guys continue to develop, I think that makes sense. But I don't think you go in and you identify Jesse James as your fix at the position. You're certainly looking for something more dynamic, I think would be my hope for whoever the Bills tight end is and whoever they want to really pair with Josh Allen and his development moving forward. Let's move on to John Evanko Jr. You said, hey, Joe, next Tuesday, can you comment on something I've been thinking about? I think if you look at Josh Allen and Tremaine Edmonds' picks last year, the obvious target for the Bills this year at number nine will be DK Metcalf. Area of need, super athlete, massive upside, it fits. John, I think you have some good logic behind your thoughts here. Even going back to the days of Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott at Carolina, you kind of know that they like prototypes, guys that really meet those size thresholds and offer that athletic ability with it. And certainly Josh Allen and Tremaine Edmonds are two guys that are really kind of freakish guys for their positions in terms of their physical upside, athletic ability, those types of things. And so DK Metcalf, who he's going to be 6'3", 225 pounds. He's probably going to run in the low 4.4s. He's going to jump out of the building at the combine. And you think about a guy with just insane physical upside, you know, DK makes a lot of sense. I think that he's one of those just guys that just has traits like a Calvin Johnson or a Julio Jones. that type of physical ability. And so, yeah, I can see the Bills gravitating towards him and looking at the clues that you learn from the Edmonds and Allen picks last year. I think you can certainly connect the dots and say this is definitely a player that the Bills will target. I think my concern with DK, and maybe you guys will think this is crazy, but I don't. And I think that after the combine next week, this will not be crazy at all. But I kind of think that DK Metcalf's in play starting at number 3 to the Jets. And I'm not sure he gets past the Lions at number 8. So when we talk about number 9 for the Bills, if DK tests the way I think he can, and you watch his tape, I think he's got the highest ceiling of any offensive player in this draft. I'm not super confident in him being available at number 9. I think he has a 3-8 window. But yeah, definitely see what you're saying there, John, in terms of similar physical upside between those players and why you would believe DK would be a very obvious target for the Bills at number 9. This one comes from Luke Inman, and that's a good friend of mine. Actually, he's a Vikings guy, so I really appreciate you taking the time to ask this question, and hopefully you're listening to the podcast. One thing you guys need to know about Luke is that he has the best John Gruden impersonation I've ever witnessed. And so maybe if you at him, he's at Luke_Spinman. You can get a video of him doing a John Gruden impersonation so you can understand why I say that. Luke says, number one offseason move to make sure Allen continues his progression in year two. And, I did two spots on Buffalo Radio on Monday, and I was asked a lot of questions like this. And what I've really come to grips with is that I think the number one thing, and I could take this, I can really kind of like take the easy way out and say, well, they just got to get better around him. And the offensive line, tight end, wide receiver, and running back position all need to get better. And just improving the infrastructure around Josh Allen is the most important. But I think, you know, this is very specific. The number one offseason move, if I was going to make sure one thing happens this offseason, to me, it is making sure they get the center position right. And I'm looking at Matt Paradis from the Broncos, and I'm looking at Mitch Morse. Both of those guys are free agents that I think can be really important veteran presence in the middle of this offensive line to really help glue this offense together. What I liken those guys to is what Alex Mack did for Matt Ryan in Atlanta. And I want to read a quote. And this quote actually comes from Patrick DeMarco, and a quote that he gave to Bleacher Report. And this is when DeMarco was on the Falcons, and they brought in Alex Mack, and you know everybody knows that season that they had was just tremendous, and Matt Ryan had the best season of his career in the first season with Alex Mack. And this is what DeMarco said. He said, we joke around with him about being a genius, him being Mack. He understands the offense and knows football at another level. He's making all of our calls along the line. That takes so much off of Matt. Over the last few years, Matt had to make the mic calls, tell the line what to do, and called hot routes. When Mack first arrived, he said, hey, Matt, you worry about the coverage. I got the protection. It's shown and taken so much off Ryan's shoulders. He can now be himself and attack defenses. That's the value of having a veteran center that is smart. And I think that you can get that in Morse. You can get that in Paradis. You know, I like some of the rookie centers that the Bills could get in this draft and their long-term prognosis. But at the same time, I don't really want to wait. I want to go ahead and get a guy that can go in there and really make the line calls and know what everybody's supposed to do. And Josh Allen won't have to worry about those things, and he can just focus on the coverage. And he can focus on understanding pre-snap, where the space is going to be, and his mind can just focus on that defensive coverage rotation and understanding how his route concepts align with the coverage and where the guy's going to be open. And I think if you can take some of that stuff off of Josh's plate, it could really help him a ton, just like what Patrick DeMarco was referencing when Atlanta brought in Alex Mack and what that meant for Matt Ryan. And so I've really come to grips with believing the most important thing Buffalo can do this offseason is get a high-quality veterans center to really be the glue of this offense and make life easier for Josh Allen and allow Josh to be Josh. So that's for me. That's it. I want that center. I want to make sure that they have the guy there. And I think it's going to be important to Brandon Bean. One of the first moves Brandon Bean made when he was general manager was extending Eric Wood. And unfortunately, Eric Wood had to retire early because of the neck injury. But even in Carolina, they had Ryan Khalil, a veteran center. And so I think you're going to see Brandon Bean make this a priority, and I think it's what he should do. Dye Summers says, in terms of high-profile free agents, which of these duos would you rather the Bills sign? And Dye gives me three different options. He says Matthew Paradise and Adam Humphries. That's option one. Number two is Darrell Williams and Mitch Morse. And number three is Donovan Smith and Tyrell Williams. Very good options. I like how you gave three very contrasting options for me. Now, I think about number two and I get excited because the Bills get their offensive line right in two different spots. And then you give me number one here with Paradis and Adam Humphries, and I think, wow, I get the center I really want, and I get a slot receiver that I think could really help this team. And, you know, Brian Daboll is a guy who's had Wes Welker in the past, and so you can see some similarities there in Adam Humphries. I'm eliminating Donovan Smith and Tyrell Williams because I think Donovan Smith, I don't get super excited about him, and Tyrell Williams is going to be so expensive. So do I want the right tackle and the center, or do I want the center and the wide receiver, the center coming off injury? Let me go with number two here. I don't think there's that much of a drop-off from Paradis to Mitch Morse, and Darrell Williams solves the right tackle thing, and that really sets the Bills up nicely to go defensive tackle or wide receiver in the first round. So number two, Darrell Williams and Mitch Morse. All right, Robert Sanders, he says, what are your thoughts on the recently elected 2019 Pro Football Hall of Fame class? Also, my thoughts on how to reduce the bottleneck of Hall of Fame caliber players, coaches, and contributors so that all the candidates can have their cases heard before the selection committee. Robert, the second half of that, I don't have much insight on. I've thought about it a little bit, and nothing really popped, but I do have some thoughts on the 2019 Pro Football Hall of Fame class. I think you look at the group, and you got three first-ballot Hall of Famers in Champ Bailey, Tony Gonzalez, and Ed Reed. No question, right? Those guys all deserve it. And then you have Kevin Mawai, Ty Law, both getting enshrined, as well as contributors Pat Bowlen and Gil Brandt, senior finalist Johnny Robinson. I think all these guys are deserving of being Hall of Famers. I don't have any gripes with any of it. I think the guy that I'm kind of feeling really deserves to be in the Hall that I think continues to get overlooked, and I'm ready for that to change, is Rondae Barber, Tampa Bay Buccaneers cornerback. 16 seasons, five-time Pro Bowler, three-time first-team All-Pro, two-time second-team All-Pro. Part of that defense that won the Super Bowl back in 2002 with the Bucs, a very legendary defense, one of the greatest defenses of all times. In that postseason, he had two interceptions, a defensive touchdown, forced two fumbles, and really was a standout in the postseason as well as the regular season. He was second team all decade team in the 2000s, and he was second team with Ty Law, who got in the Hall of Fame, and the first team was Champ Bailey and Charles Woodson. And I think he's got better production if you stack him up with Ty Law, who's in the Hall of Fame. You will see better production across the board for Rondae Barber. I think that the challenge that people are having with Rondae Barber is that he played slot corner. And I, for whatever reason, I think he's getting discriminated against because of that. And really, I think Barber was a revolutionary player. That was a position that really didn't exist in the way we know it now until Barber came and did it. And I think just the way that he's impacted the game in terms of really becoming the first guy to be that true nickel guy, blitzing, playing the run, playing man coverage, making high impact plays all the time. Like I think that his contributions to the game on a great team with great production really is Hall of Fame worthy. So I think that he's waited long enough. He's played 16 seasons. I don't know what we're missing here. This guy deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. So I'm not sitting here saying that like anybody deserves to not be in the Hall of Fame based on the 2019 class, but I think that we're long overdue on Rondae Barber getting into the Hall. Dye Summers, another question. Thank you. You said, what's more important to Josh Allen's development, better offensive line or better weapons? And how would you stage it? Where would you spend big and where would you draft high? Well, I think you heard me articulate the need for that center position and how impactful that can be for Josh Allen and the offense as a whole. So that's where I really start. I want Morse or I want Paradis. I got to have one of those two. It's got to happen for me. I would love to see the Bills tap into that free agent market as well as on the offensive line spot, because I think it's really hard for rookie offensive linemen to come in and really contribute and make an impact. I mean, we talk about plug and play offensive linemen, but truth is there's really not that many of them, and they struggle a lot, to be honest with you, early on in their careers. And so I don't need that. And so I think you can probably go out and literally, if you went and got either Morse or Paradis and you solved that center position, and then you went after one of these right tackles, whether it's Juwan James, whether it's Trenton Brown, whether it's Darrell Williams, you can solidify that position as well. And, I mean, and there's other guys. There's Roger Saffold and Ramon Foster. I think there's a real opportunity ahead of us to improve the offensive line in free agency. And so that's where I want to invest and get that offensive line right. And then I think you can turn to the draft and get weapons. I really love DK Metcalf, as you guys know. I really like Kelvin Harmon. You know, I don't know that I'd take him at 9, but you can maybe move back a little bit and get Calvin Harmon. I like these tight ends. The two Iowa guys, Noah Font and TJ Hockenson, are really nice players. Jay Sternberger from Texas A&M has really exciting receiving skill set. I mean, he's a seam buster. He's a guy that can win on those bench routes. Irv Smith makes a lot of sense, the guy from Alabama. I love Ozzie Nauta from Georgia. So I just think there's going to be a really good opportunity for the Bills in the first 1, 2, 3 rounds to get weapons, and they can do that if they get the offensive line right in free agency. So my plan right now is invest heavily in the offensive lineman in free agency, and then go get those playmakers in the draft and go to work. That's what I would do. That's what I think is the best course of action for building around Josh Allen and what's most important for his development. This next one comes from @VPGIF. Man, I need to be asking you the questions. I worked with VPGIF, my first writing gig with it was BuffaloBillsDraft.com, and I was on staff there with VPGIF, and I'm still waiting for this man to come out of retirement and get back into some analysis, because Gift's got some good takes. You said, free agency has me scared. Teams historically overpay for marginal talent. Who is your can't-miss pick at offensive tackle, wide receiver, and tight end, round 1 through 3 in any order? Yeah, you're not wrong. Free agency is scary. Teams do overpay for marginal talent. That's kind of the deal. You want to fill some needs. You're spending on players that the team they were on didn't choose to bring them back, and all of that stuff really matters. Now, I do think I'm comfortable. The offensive linemen that you guys continue to hear me talk about, I'm comfortable with. I think that those would be worthy investments. One thing we know about Brandon Bean is I don't think he is going to overpay. I mean, you heard him talk last year about how every player that they thought about going after, they had price limits on, and they weren't going to go over a certain amount. And they're very disciplined to do that. And so I do kind of have a belief that maybe Buffalo will be wise. And he said it. Brandon Bean said they're going to be calculated with their spending. I believe that would be 100% true. Who are my can't-miss picks at offensive tackle, wide receiver, and tight end? Juwan Taylor, for me, at offensive tackle from Florida. I think the more and more I study this group of offensive tackles, the more I believe Taylor is the best one. Very handedly, I think he's got the best traits. He's mobile. He's athletic. He's long. He's powerful. He wins in space. He mirrors well in pass pro. Like, plug and play right tackle. Like, I think he's the dude. Like, he's the one I want. If I'm taking an offensive tackle in the top 10, I want Juwan Taylor. A wide receiver, for me, it's DK Metcalf. I think he's just so special with his physical upside. And, like, there's some bad, like, I don't understand the concerns that he can't develop as a route runner. Like, he ran a limited route tree at Ole Miss, but that doesn't mean he can't run more routes. Like, watch him play. My God. Like, rare physical skill set. Rare ability to sink his hips and turn. Rare ability to get off the line of scrimmage with nuanced releases and varieties of techniques. Like, come on now. Brad Kelly, he has a tweet that goes through, like, tons of plays of why he believes DK Metcalf is wide receiver one. And, like, watch that and then talk to me about how he can't run routes. Like, get out of here with that. I don't understand the detractors of DK Metcalf based on that he can't improve as a route runner. Like, no, he's a great route runner. He just didn't run a lot of routes because that's not what he was asked to do in college. Like, don't hate on the guy because he wasn't asked to do something. Don't say he can't do it because he wasn't asked to. Like, the guy's physically insane. Watch that. Go watch that GIF thread and then talk to me about DK Metcalf. At tight end, it's TJ Hockenson. That's that can't miss guy, man. I think he's special. I think he's going to be a star like Travis Kelce in this league. Dominant blocker and really exciting receiving skill set. So if I mean, those are the guys that I'm like, hey, I got to have them. Those would be the ones that I would want. Those are the can't miss guys at offensive tackle, wide receiver, and tight end. Tim Quinn says, more important for Josh Allen's development, a stud wide receiver, tight end, an offensive line upgrade, or a better run game? I'm going to continue to go with the offensive line here. I think he found ways to produce later in the season with the receivers that the Bills have, and I'm in no way, shape, or form saying that Buffalo shouldn't invest heavily in improving the wide receiver position, because I believe they should. But Josh Allen, I think when you get that offensive line right, the run game's going to get better. When you get the offensive line right, Josh is going to have more time to survey the field. And that's the thing about Josh. He's not necessarily a quick trigger guy. And so when he can be afforded the time to really allow routes to develop and use his arm talent, his ability to challenge the deep portions of the field, that happens because the offensive line holds up. And so I think all that stuff's important. The Bills need to get better at literally every position around him. But the one thing that I think matters the most, that's most important to Josh, is the offensive line upgrade. This one comes from Fios, at underscore Allen Season. The pros and cons of having a sky crew at just calls on the field after the play that referees may have missed, and whether or not it could be implemented in the NFL. Also, the transparency during the booth reviews, not directly related to the Bills, but just an interesting discussion. So what was being referred to here is the AAF games and how they have a sky judge that can overturn calls that the referees make. And then whenever they're reviewing a play, this judge is on TV talking through what he's seeing and why they're making the decision that they're making to uphold or overturn the call. I like them both. To me, what I really just want is for the calls to be right. And it's 2019. We have a million cameras at every game. And we should be able to look at stuff and make sure that it's correct. And so if there's a call missed on the field, whether it helps my team or not, I just want it to be the correct call. And so having somebody in place to make sure that happens is something I love. I also love the transparency during the booth reviews. Talk through it. Tell us why you're going to uphold or change that call. And I see no reason to run from that. I think preserving the integrity of the game, I think people just naturally have some reservations about, you know, favorable calls and those types of things. But if you can listen to someone's thought process, it kind of eliminates that. And does it mean that they're still going to get stuff wrong? Like, yeah, maybe they are, but at least they did everything they could to try to be transparent about the call. And so, yeah, I'm for all this stuff. I want to get calls right, and I want people to be transparent about why calls were made. Tom Nazaro says, TJ Hockenson, that's it. That's the whole thing, and I like it. That is the best tight end in this class. He's from Iowa. He's a redshirt sophomore. Really good blocker, man. He puts people on their ass. He creates movement. I love that. He's a guy that's going to want to, like, impose his will on you as a blocker. But then it's not that he just does that. He's a really exciting receiver. He can challenge all levels of the field. You can get it to him quick, and he can break off catches after catches and create for himself afterwards. Really good contact balance, really good field vision. And then his receiving skill set, like, he's a guy that can really challenge a seam, and he's a guy that's going to be able to separate against safeties and linebackers. And he's really good at the catch point. He elevates, he wins in contested situations. Like, TJ Hockenson just does everything at a high level. I think he's going to be an absolute star at tight end. And so kind of talked about how you look at, everybody wants to have a good tight end, but very few tight ends are actual difference makers. TJ Hockenson is a guy that I think could be a difference maker at tight end, like a Travis Kelce. The Sports Knot says, Juwan Taylor and DK Metcalf are sitting there on the board at their pick. Who do they draft? This is assuming Metcalf is the freak at the combine, much like Julio Jones and Megatron. I think that's going to happen. Okay, so this is like the dilemma in my head. If they're both on the board, which one do you take? Now, obviously, whatever Buffalo does in free agency will really dictate what I would answer here, right? Because if they go into this thing with a big hole at right tackle, like, that's got to get tightened up, and you have to pass on DK Metcalf. But let's assume, like, just in a vacuum, oh, this is tough. Give me the offensive lineman. Give me the offensive lineman. Things got to get right up front. And so I think DK is going to be special. I really, really do. and he'd be so good for this team. But just right now, my mind's really on this offensive line, and I want to get it right. And that's what I'm going to go with. And I reserve the right to change my mind, and certainly free agency will play into this. John Stephanidis says, more Josh Allen, please. We talked a lot about Josh Allen today and how the Bills can make life easier for him and different strategies for building around him. So hopefully I've appeased your appetite for Josh Allen, but I know that he's in the news right now for that that autograph that he did. The guy drove from Delaware, and actually Josh didn't just write that on there to responding to Jalen Ramsey. He was paid to do that. Like, that's what he was asked to do. So he didn't necessarily clap back at him like unsolicited. It was kind of give some context there. So, I don't have a problem with it, man. I mean, Josh Allen's been so criticized. It feels like everybody's rooting against him. I feel like people are mad that Bills fans get defensive over Josh Allen. Well, that's because our team invested so heavily in him, and everybody said he's going to suck. And then he didn't suck. Well, he sucked for the first half of the season, and then when he came back from that injury, he was a different player. And he's a player that gives Bills Mafia and the Bills organization plenty of reason to believe they have a quarterback. Now, I'm as optimistic as can be about Josh Allen, and I'm also as skeptical as I can be about Josh Allen. So we're going to see how he evolves, how things get better around him, and how he develops as a player. But the reality is, like, there's so much to be impressed with what he did down the stretch last season, and so much of the context matters. I keep going back to that he went into this season, his rookie season, in a three-way race for that quarterback spot with sharing reps with A.J. McCarron and Nate Peterman. And then they chose Nate Peterman, traded away A.J. McCarron, and then he's thrust into action halfway through the opener. And it was just not an ideal scenario for Josh to play. He's raw. He's got a bad offensive line. He's got bad wide receivers. He has no veterans on the team at quarterback that can really be in his ear and be a mentor to him. And it just was a terrible scenario for him. And so a lot changed throughout the course of the season. When he came back, we saw some of those glimpses that show a player that's going to be really, really, really tough for defenses to stop. And everybody wants to get caught up in completion percentage and that type of stuff. The reality is that Josh is just a different type of player. You can't look at completion percentage and say he's good or not. Everything matters with Josh. He's a really good runner. He's a really good vertical thrower, like in terms of how far he can throw the football and how he can stress a defense. And so, like, if you want to use traditional quarterback measurements to define how good Josh Allen is, you're missing his overall skill set and how he can impact the team and why he's difficult to stop. So, I mean, the reality is we should be optimistic, but there's no hard, fast conclusions based on anything that happened last year. He's got to develop. The offense has to develop, but there's a lot to be excited about. So there's your Josh Allen kick for the day. Last one here comes from Usain Boris. Is Myles Gaskin the most underrated player and biggest sleeper prospect in the draft? He's a running back from Washington. Fantastic movement and vision. Draft him to learn from Shady, and he'll be the Bills running back for a decade. I like Myles Gaskin. Here's the thing about him. He's 5'9", 191 pounds. He has over 1,000 touches in college. He's the all-time leading touchdown scorer and rusher at the University of Washington. I like him. I think he's a nuanced runner. I think he has good vision. I think he's fairly elusive for a size. He catches the football pretty well. He has good contact balance. I like a lot of his baseline traits. I don't see a starter. I don't see a feature back. I see a day three, kind of an early day three guy that I think can carry the football. He can be part of a stable of backs, but he's not the guy that I say, hey, this is going to be that running back that a team drafts late and they have their guy. Like, I think he can certainly play. He'll have a role, but I'm not quite as optimistic as you are. Even though I like him a lot, Usain, you actually said he's the most underrated player and biggest sleeper prospect in the draft. I don't agree with that. Although I do respect him. I think he is a nuanced runner. I like what you said about movement skills and vision. Those are both very good, true things about him. But I'm not sure that he's like you said there, he'll be the Bills running back for a decade, especially at his size and with his wear and tear. So interesting day three running back, but I'm not quite as optimistic on his long-term forecast as you are. All right, guys, that's going to do it for today. Thank you so much. Fabulous questions. You guys brought it. Hopefully you'll do it again for me next week and we can have a fun Twitter Tuesday. Tomorrow, unless something crazy happens, I want to get deep into the tight end position. I know we talked a little bit about tight ends, but we really haven't dug into it since the Charles Clay release. So I want to have some thoughts on that and maybe some ideas of what the Bills can do this offseason to get that position right, because it's going to look a lot different next season. I have a guest lineup for Thursday, y'all. This is a good guest, a really good guest. So make sure you hit that subscribe button and don't miss anything. Leave that 5-star review. Interact with me on Twitter. I am at the Joe Marino. The podcast can be followed on Twitter at Locked On Bills. Had a lot of fun today. Thank you so much for bringing such great takes and questions to the table for me to react to. And I'll be back again for you tomorrow.